You're listening to On Point with Perry Solkowski and Randy Janda on Sportsnet 650.
How are you, Murph?
I'm doing good, fellas. How are you guys?
Good.
Are you putting those sunglasses to use? Is it sunny there?
It's a little bit overcast today, but it was super sunny and warm yesterday. And definitely, I think the weather is better here than what you guys have experienced in the last little bit.
You
take that to the bank.
Okay. You like your NBA. What did you think of Cleveland and LeBron moving everybody today?
I thought, the GM of the Cavaliers,
very
LeBron,
busy.
Did a pretty good job. Yeah,
yes.
He's pretty busy.
GM LeBron.
And probably energized him a little bit. And I think also, it's probably helping the Lakers, if not this summer, the summer after. What can they fit in now? Two max contracts? So it's going to be very interesting. But my love for the NBA went down a little bit after the whole Grizzlies experience. I won't lie. I was, in high school, much bigger NBA fan than NHL fan. But as life goes, you have to kind of pick which ones you watch, and fallen out of favor a little bit with the NBA, except the playoffs.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's take it to the NHL in a GM and management. What did you make of a move that the Rangers pull off today to let all their fans know, hey, we're going to be moving some guys. I hope you're on board with that. You think we could see other teams come up with something like that, Murph, and go, hey, crystal clear, we're about to be moving some guys in the next 3 to 4 weeks?
Well, it probably can. I mean, for one thing, it tells me that the GM and Sather are probably very safe in their jobs. You don't release that if you don't think that you have the the ownership on your side. So there's one thing, because they wouldn't have done that without permission. But I think it's a brave move. It's probably the right move. I mean, they're within reach of a playoff spot, but still, I think their odds with sports club stats is around 30% or something, or 28%. So it's not like they're a lock. And they can get, if they can move, even two or three of those guys, they should get a pretty healthy return, especially with the Nash, maybe even Grabner at this point. And I think why not do that? If you don't think you can, win it all with the current construction of the group you have, then make the moves to get younger, get some more draft picks, get some more prospects, and go after it. Because I understand the logic that people say, just get in and you never know what can happen. But really, when was the last time that happened, except for, I guess, the LA Kings, 2012, just get in. But, their numbers were so much better during the regular season that people knew they could be a power horse in the playoffs. So I do like the move. I admire it, but it takes some guts, that's for sure.
Do you think a move like that could be pulled off in Canada? Because the pressure is a lot more north of the border. Do you think in a city like Vancouver, that a letter like that would fly?
I think that the appetite in Vancouver for a rebuild, I think, certainly the hardcore fans, the fans that listen to the talk radio all the time, they're on board with it. I always wonder if the ticket-buying customers are as on board as the people perhaps that don't shell out $200 for a ticket. Obviously, everybody wants to watch wins and watch a competitive team. But I think if your club is in a position where it's so obvious that that's what you should do, move some of these players out to get picks and younger, then I think absolutely a Canadian fan base would be on board. But, there's no guarantees.
Anders Nilsson gets the start today. We heard him from this morning saying, we put in a good effort. I think we have a chance. Well, the problem is we're not sure what night we get good efforts. Has that kind of been the last 48 hours to go, really? If there's one thing this team can control, can everybody go out there and work and then at least we see how good we are?
Yeah, and I think that's fair. And I think that for the most part this season, there hasn't been a lot of absolute dogs where you say, what the heck was that in terms of effort? I mean, we know what the shortcomings of the roster are. But usually, like Saturday night against the Lightning, get down, but they didn't quit. They fought back, and they had a chance to win that game. The game against Florida was awful, start to finish, kind of by both teams. The game was there for taking at 1-1, and you thought maybe the Granlund, the shorthanded goal, would give the team some juice, but never really seemed to take off. Markstrom was very good. But effort with this group is not something that I think has been questioned much throughout the season. There's probably been a handful of games where you've been disappointed, but that's going to happen to any group.
We now know that Darren Archibald is needed not only because of physicality, but there's also guys that are injured in the Canucks roster as well. But what do you think he can make? What difference do you think he can make? This is a guy that is basically been clamoring for, fans have been saying, we need a physical presence in the lineup. But realistically, he is a 27-year-old journeyman player. What do you think he can offer in the short term for the Vancouver Canucks?
Well, I think he can give the team a little bit more of a backbone. I mean, they've kind of relied on Gudbranson to be, you know, the physical presence on this team. And to be honest, I think he's been much better at that. You know, obviously he had to sit out some games with the back spasms, but I think over his last 6-7 games, Gudbranson's been better at that. And I think that bringing Archibald will help in that situation. But I mean, this is not a savior. It's a great story. I think he probably earned a spot on the roster out of camp, but of course he didn't have the NHL contract and that complicated thing. So I'm glad to see him. And the other thing it could do too is, you know, they've always talked about not wanting players to be comfortable. And certainly Travis Green is made sure with scratches and such, but it's going to light a lot of bit of fire under Jake Virtanen, who they've been pushing and pushing to be more of a physical player, to use his body more. And perhaps with the call-up now of Archibald, when this team gets a little more healthy, and Virtanen's going to see that as a person that could take his spot in the lineup as we go down the stretch. So I think it can offer a couple things anyway.
Someone offered this thought, Murph, that now if Archibald's there, you know you've got someone with the physical nature that maybe Virtanen will bank some more people, knowing that, you know, he doesn't have to answer. He's got somebody behind him, and it's just not on the kid. You put any credence in that?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, and Travis Green knows Archibald. He was the MVP in Utica when Green was the coach there, and I think he believes that he can bring that. And, you know, in junior, Jake Virtanen ran people over, and he was, you know, very physical. He was a man against boys. He hasn't tried to do that as much at the NHL level. Remember, even his first camp up in Penticton, the rookie camp, he hammered Connor McDavid. He can get back to doing that. I mean, I know he's still young, but he's 230 pounds. So if he wants him, he skates like the wind. He can lay people out. And I don't know why he's gone away from that. I don't know if he's confused about his role. I don't know if he thinks he has to be a more of offensive player. But I think if he uses his skating and his size, he's going to guard himself a lot more favors with the coaching staff.
Murph, we were talking about the NBA trade deadline. The NHL one is just around the corner, February 26th. You're traveling with this team all the time. What's the read of the situation from your perspective? You know, we've heard about Thomas Vanek maybe being extended, maybe not. Same with Gudbranson. What do you think is going to happen based on those two expiring contracts?
Well, I mean, first off, you have to wonder what you can get for the two of them. There's probably a buyer beware on Vanek. I mean, his numbers are very good last year. Traded at deadline, did nothing. Two seasons ago, his numbers were great. Regular season, traded at deadline, did nothing. I was in Montreal and then I guess Florida for those two seasons. So I just don't know what you can get for him at this point. What do you expect? But I think they should move him. As for Gudbranson, that might be a little more tough of a pill to swallow for Jim Benning. He gave up a lot to get him. And if the offers are not very good, is he going to be able to say to ownership, we have to take the loss on this. We have to move on. Let's not compound the error. I think that's a smart thing to do, but it's probably a lot tougher for Benning to come to that conclusion if he's not getting the offers he thinks he should for Gudbranson.
And he does that knowing that he might not be able to get him back here in July?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, First off, I just don't know if under this current coaching staff, like what role is Gudbranson going to play? He's not in the top four. You know, can you afford to pay a guy in your bottom pairing a lot of money? No. I mean, we even saw that with Lucas Visa making 3.6, I believe it was. And there's no way you should be paying that in your third pairing. And I think that Gudbranson is going to be looking for north of that. So, you know, maybe Gudbranson goes to free agency, sees what's out there, and it's not as rich for him that he believes. But we saw even last year, you know, people overpay for defensemen when they become UFAs. Carl Alsner, I mean, Chris Russell got $4 million a year. You look at some of the contracts, even Brendan Smith, who was waived today. Mm-hmm. So I think there's probably money out there for him. I just don't think it's smart for the Canucks to be the ones to spend it.
So those are the expiring deals. There's also kind of these rumblings that the Canucks would be willing to listen to offers. They're not shopping, but the young guys, and specifically whether it's Ben Hutton or Jake Virtanen, are you believing any of that hype, or is that just pre-deadline chatter?
Well, I think where there's smoke, there's fire, and I probably believe more so with Hutton than I would with Virtanen. I don't think the Canucks are ready to give up on him quite yet. You know, I think Hutton is a player that, you know, teams would be interested in, and the Canucks probably, you know, right now, he doesn't seem to be a guy that's on the in with Travis Green. So that could be one, and I'm sure they're listening to offers on Chris Tam as well, but I just I don't know if there's a desire there from this group to trade him. He's their best defenseman. Certainly, he'd be their best trade chip because he's got 2 years left on his deal. I just don't think, you know, Jim Benning or even Travis Green would like to see him go. I mean, some people say, well, you're going to finish 28th or 27th or 29th in the standings with him. So what's the difference? And that's true in a vacuum. But also, you say with young players, there's a difference between losing 5-1 and losing 2-1. And I think that could be the difference if you're going to ship out a guy like Chris Tanev.
Murph, we'll let you go quickly. Do you think these are long-term injuries to Gagne and Gaunce now, apparently, with the walking boot?
Yeah, I think the fear is it could be a fracture with Gaunce, but I'm not sure if that's been confirmed yet. The ankle with Gagne, he talked yesterday before he left. So he tried to skate, left practice, and we spoke to him after the practice. And he said he's suffered an injury like this before. He doesn't feel like this one is as bad, so he's hoping that's just going to be a week-to-week thing for that. So, you know, who knows with Gaunce if it does indeed he does have a break that's going to be a little longer term, but Gagne was hoping it would just be a week-to-week thing with him.
Murph, thank you for this. We'll look forward to watching you on the broadcast, as always.
All right, we got Hadwin on tonight, so we'll talk a little golf during this.
Ledgeview crew together. Okay.
Murph, your panel is next level now, man. After you asked Sat to join, it's just gone to another level.
Thanks, buddy.
Exactly. Sportsnet 650.